Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fletch, Vaughn and Laura, who's in for Megan. A meteor last night over the skies of New Zealand.
I know, I missed it.
I didn't see it.
Did anybody see it? Is anybody listening now that saw it? What was it like?
Apparently burned different colours, depending on where you were.
Because I read somebody said it looked a bit like a flare or fireworks.
Wow,
so maybe
good.
Like a Roman candle coming down, but far away.
Because I saw a shooting star on the way to work yesterday.
Okay, should you be looking at the road?
Oh, it was just before I got in the car.
Oh, right, okay.
It was just before I got in the car, but all the way to work I was looking for more, so.
Right, okay.
I don't know, are we meteor or showering or something? Are we passing through some space dust?
And NASA not telling us how close these things are coming.
I wouldn't.
I just would not want to know if there was a big meteor
Bruce
coming.
Bruce Willis is up there right now saving the day with the drill.
Oh, drilling into
Ben
something.
Affleck. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Well, Ben Affleck had to leave the planet after all the bad Batman vs. Superman reviews. He was more than happy to go and drill an asteroid to save the people who badmouthed his film.
When Bruce gave McCauley, he said, yes, please, I need to
go. Yeah, I just get off
just
of
get
the
me
Earth.
Get out of here.
Get as far away from this place as
Bruce
I can.
Bruce is like, I know what you're saying, Ben. I haven't had a decent movie in years. So now they're up there drilling holes in asteroids.
Now, coming up, five reasons why it's best to be the oldest child.
Yeah. Are you a middle child?
I'm the oldest.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, yeah, why did you move then?
The pressures of being the oldest is just extraordinary.
Well, no, because you we had to, I'm everything. Also the oldest. We had to break the ground.
Right.
We had to climb Everest first.
Yeah.
Like your parents,
Straight up the mountain. You had your hand held the whole way.
Your parents let you go to parties because we climbed Everest first.
No, you didn't.
But what if you buggered up Everest?
And we didn't have Kathmandu clothing gear, I'll tell you that.
We were cold and hungry.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we did it.
It was
in
dark
jandals.
Out there.
You were Edmund Hillary.
So five,
everybody knows the Sherpa did the hard work.
Five reasons why being the oldest child is best. And if you're not the oldest child, you'll probably go,
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Three news headlines. And Vaughn and Laura, you've got to decide which story we hear today. Headline one, German tourist stopped with unusual souvenir.
The Germans.
The Germans.
The Germans.
Headline two, buffet goes bad.
Oh.
And how does a buffet go bad?
And headline three, man facing life in prison for chocolate.
Oh. I'm obviously hungry because I've got the two and three are the ones I'm... Oh, I do love a buffet. But God, I love chocolate.
Wow, you know, it's you pick what story we hear.
Buffet goes bad. Oh, I think I know this one.
What? Was that a crab?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
How did you know that that was a crab? Because to me, that looked like a really bad thriller dance.
Vaughn did a crab dance.
Oh, you put your fingers out and then you wobble
You've
side
read
to side pretending to walk. So a couple were arrested because they started fist fighting over crab legs at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well, you've ruined that one story.
I want the chocolate one.
Man in life. Man facing life for chocolate.
Man in life, damn it, aren't we all?
No, because I'm clicking between my tabs and I clicked on the crab story instead. A man is facing life in prison after being caught stealing $31 worth of chocolate bars. The 34-year-old man grabbed the chocolate bars at a convenience store and was caught after exiting the store. Now, he's from New Orleans, and he is facing a life in prison for stealing this chocolate because they have a habitual offender law in the state of Louisiana, which means if you have five previous convictions,
you
will spend the rest of your life in prison. Now, his other convictions include other things like shoplifting at Rite Aid, a Blockbuster Video.
So it doesn't matter how intense it is.
No.
Five strikes.
You're out.
You're in for life.
You're in,
His total thefts count to $500.
And he's going to the
court. So for $500, the state of Louisiana will have to pay for him being locked up for the rest of his life.
Because that's
Isn't
my
that
plan.
Crazy. Have they thought that through?
No.
That's my plan
serious.
When I get old.
Yeah.
Rob a bank. My KiwiSaver runs out. Yeah. Rob a bank with a fake gun. And so no one can get hurt. And end up in prison.
Yeah.
And fed.
Yeah.
Get a bit of exercise.
Sex.
Yes. Whether you want it or not. And your kids will actually come and visit you.
Will they though?
No. I read an article. Prisoners get more visitors than rest home, than people in rest homes.
No.
Because it was one of those articles comparing like rest homes to prisons and how you'd be better off in a prison sometimes, not every time.
Yeah.
But
is it because...
And they look
people
at the visitors.
Would feel more sorry for you being in prison if you were an old relative than if you were in a home because they could visit you anytime.
If you're in a home, they assume you're living a social life and you've got things to do and hanging out with your pals. But if you're in prison, they think you're a bit more isolated and everything.
It's really sad.
I know.
It's really, really, really sad.
I know. So there you go. I don't want a spate of old people going to prison.
So definitely
on that advice,
your plan sounds legit once the KiwiSaver
runs
out.
Well, I'll just go here. Where's the, because they'll just deport me back to New Zealand.
And then you'd have to do it in New Zealand.
I'd have to do it in New Zealand.
Plus those prisons overseas, if you've seen banged up abroad, they don't look as comfortable, do they?
No.
Because you want one of those white collar ones where they send all the fraudsters.
Yes.
All the people that rip off finance companies.
And tennis. Yeah, and
got the basic Sky Channels. It's basically an Otorohanga motel.
They've got the basic Sky Channels.
Yeah. Nice bar pool, though.
Can we get movies? They're like, remember you're in prison. That's right. Sorry.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM. A man on Reddit, there was a Reddit thread discussing if anybody knew what happened, if anybody had had a near-death experience, like an actual near-death experience, like died near-death.
Okay, and they bring you back to life.
Was resuscitated.
Okay.
And one user said that it's happened to him twice. His first death, where it was a result of a motorcycle accident, where his body shut down due to pain and physical damages, is what the doctors told him. No pulse, no breathing, no consciousness. Like he, for all definitive purposes, was dead.
So if they'd left him, he
would
have
died.
Okay.
So he was dead for 2 minutes.
Wow,
and he was resuscitated. So that was the first time.
That's a long time to be...
I know, because
don't you become a bit of a vegetable if you
deprive the brain of oxygen? Yeah, it can. It can give you irreversible brain damage. The second time, he said, he was in agonizing pain after surgery, so he was given a whole lot of painkillers.
Mm.
And then his body reacted to the fact that it was in horrendous pain and the immediate effect of the painkillers. His pulse dropped to about 7 beats a minute. So that's like one every 10 seconds. Like his heart was like... Burr.
This guy's final destination. Like he's skipped a couple of times.
He said it's happened to him twice, and after once he was like, well, maybe that was just...
Yeah,
once, but it happened to him twice. So he said the exact same thing happened to him both times when he was clinically dead.
Okay.
He said it's nothing. Nothing happened. No light at the end of the tunnel, no voices, no seeing.
Right.
Holy figures.
He's answered the question, what happens when you die?
He said it's a black emptiness. No thoughts, no consciousness, no nothing. It just... nothing. You just cease to exist. He likened it to if you ever have a nap... You know where you have like a 15-minute nap, maybe you're on the couch and you just nod off and you wake up and it feels like you've been asleep for ages. Like you're confused.
Right.
You're like, have I slept through? Am I late for work?
Yeah.
What day is it?
Exactly. Like 15 minutes passes, but it feels like
eternity.
A lot longer. But you can't, you know, confirm that it's felt like a lot longer. It's just a feeling you've had.
Wow, okay.
So he said when he died, it probably felt like he'd been dead for 15 to 20 minutes. But he hadn't. He was dead for 2 minutes the first time and around about the same the second time.
Oh, my God.
And he said it was just absolutely nothingness.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He said it was like a dreamless nap.
Imagine being able to say you've died twice.
Yeah, I know. And there was nothing there both times.
Would you go buy a lottery ticket and make sure that you did all the things that you wanted to if you've snuffed it twice but come back to life?
I think you'd have to...
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
You had to do something.
I reckon you would for a week and then you get back into your old habits.
Yeah.
You know,
live life to the fullest.
I'm
going
to go to the gym and get thin and be healthy. Yeah.
Ooh,
and
new season of House of Cards. I'm sitting on my bum for 14 hours not doing anything.
I went to the gym on Monday. That's enough, right?
Yeah. My heart got quite beaty then compared to when it was not beating at all. So I think I'm even now.
Yeah.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Now, 5 reasons why being the oldest child is best. And not, I'm not just making this up because I'm the oldest child.
Yeah, but you're saying it because you're the oldest child.
I'm referring to science, Vaughn.
Ah, right. Now, okay. Well, go ahead, science.
If we go around the show...
You owe us a lot. I'm an older child.
We
and you owe us a lot. Mm. You wouldn't be going to those parties if it wasn't for us.
Mm. No,
you
it
would
was
not
due
have that
to my brother
later
not,
curfew if
not
it wasn't
wanting
for us.
To socialise that I wasn't allowed to go to parties because it was like, well, your brother never did. And he was like, well, I didn't want to go to them until I was 18. So mum's like, well, weird... that's, you know, that's the fair thing. That's he didn't go, so you can't.
That's an exception. Laura and I had to do a lot of blue light discos.
Oh, my God. I had to sneak out and charge all the taxis back to my parents.
James, the producer, is you're the oldest. Oldest?
Yep.
Okay, so this child. List is going to ring true for you.
Oh, obviously.
Caitlin, a middle child like Vaughn, an attention seeker, always playing up.
I wouldn't say, well, yeah, actually, no, that's probably
I would
right.
say if you were so great, the parents would have been like, well, this one child's wonderful, we'll stop here. And then they had us and they were like, you know what, this second one's so great,
it's
let's
not
try
getting
for a
any
third
better.
One. And then they're like, we've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
All right, that's so why being middle child is the best.
Five reasons why being the oldest child is best, according to science. Number one, older siblings might be smarter.
Might be smart? This isn't science.
Research,
this is might be.
Okay, listen to the research. Research suggests that eldest children have higher IQs on average than the younger siblings. A 2007 study found an average of 2.3 points.
Yeah, okay. Well, my brother had to go to Kit McGrath and I didn't, so...
Your brother's also a pharmacist and you're in radio.
Well, he tries a lot harder, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean he's smarter.
How's this for some sass if you're a younger child listening, if you're the youngest? Every time you add a child, you're diluting the intellectual environment of everyone in the family. Ouch!
Wow.
Ouch!
Ow, wait.
Ow.
Number two.
No one knows glory of our families will believe anything.
Five reasons why being the oldest child is best. Number two, they could be more responsible. Forging the path for their fellow siblings means that the eldest children learn some serious responsibility
you,
in life.
So far you've used might and could. And the first one is might be smarter. This one could be more responsible. That's not at all...
Look,
this is
Vaughan,
completely
again,
factual.
This is all based on studies.
This has got nothing on that one-man show I put on in the lounge so everybody would look at me as a middle child.
Eldest siblings tend to be the ones that focus the most on family loyalty
yes!
and traditional achievement. As a result, they're often seen to be more obedient and responsible.
Yeah, my brother left the country and only comes back when someone dies. So I don't know if that's showing family loyalty.
Well, that's right.
Okay, I've stayed. I've been there for every Christmas. I'm the only one who's been there for every Christmas.
I keep my family
together.
It's not
a competition, mate. Number
it's
three.
It's not a competition. Says the first child who's reading out a list of why it's best to be first child.
Well, because it is best to be first child.
Number
That's
three.
Just the thing.
Number three, they might be more successful. Not only do eldest children perform better in school, they also might be more successful in the professional world. Plus, parents perceive them to be more accomplished.
Because they were the first to do it. That's all. That's all there is. Oh,
right.
my first child to get school C.
Number four.
NCEA or whatever.
Eldest children follow the rules. While middle children are thought to be the rebellious one, oldest children are more likely to be rule followers.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
That's not true
that
for
that. One's not 100.
Is that not for you? That's
no,
not 100%.
I wasn't great at following the rules. I pushed the boundaries just a smidge and then... For my two brothers, it was just like easy peasy.
Yeah.
Do what you like.
Because you'd been
all right.
an awful been an child.
Number five on the list of five reasons why it's best to be the oldest child. A 2015 study, firstborns were found to be slightly more conscientious and more agreeable and less neurotic than their younger siblings.
Less neurotic?
Yeah.
I would have thought the oldest one would have been.
Calm down, mate. Don't go psycho.
I'm not.
What's that vein bulging in your neck for?
No, I'm not.
Just calm down, mate.
I'm not. I mean, that's the one before about the rule, that was Laura breaking the... And then that last one was Fletch to a T.
Yeah.
You can't claim that point.
How are you feeling, Caitlin, middle child?
I feel like I am the goody good in the family, so I definitely didn't go and break any rules. I did try and do what Vaughn did and like dance around in the living room to get attention.
Yeah.
But that's not breaking rules.
What about IQ thing being diluted from your older sister?
Yeah.
Could you just spell?
She's a teacher.
It wasn't a strong mix of raro to start with.
Pardon?
Exactly. See, she didn't pick up that neat little dilution
that
raro.
That was a great dilution joke.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
A very interesting story from what is always judged one of the most beautiful little towns on the planet.
Oh.
But it's not a beautiful little story from Queenstown today.
Okay.
It's an unusual story. A Scottish engineer, David Murray.
Okay.
He got in trouble when he failed a breath alcohol test after he failed to take a corner, cross the centre line and caused the two-car crash.
Oh.
in November last year. No one was injured, but the cars were, you know, moderately damaged and stuff. So he failed the breath alcohol level, went to court.
Lock him up.
He's got off.
How do you get off
this
that?
This is how. The defense lawyer said that he'd spend the day working with a glue, ADOS F2 adhesive, which is great. My first run-in with F2 glue was gluing the sole of my shoe back to my shoe as a kid. And I was like, man, that smells. And Dad's like, this is the glue that the glue people sniff.
Oh, is it? Right.
It's the mega adhesive. So he'd been working with that for 10 hours.
Ooh.
What, just like gluing down like carpet or something?
Gluing down linoleum or just gluing anything that needed to be glued, he said. But he'd been in the area with it for 10 hours before the crash.
But that's not alcohol. How does that get it into your system for a test?
And then he had two drinks, apparently, after work. But he said he wasn't really feeling himself. He wasn't really feeling good at all.
Right.
And he crashed, but he said it wasn't a result of the beers. It was a result of the intoxication from the glue.
Which is not illegal, is it, to be high on glue? Is it? And drive? Or is that a controlled substance? Or
I don't know if it's a controlled substance. Surely it is. Like, if you're not allowed to drive stoned or on ecstasy or anything, you shouldn't be allowed to drive on glue and then drive.
If you're high on glue because of your job and you have two beers and then you're feeling not right and out of it, don't drive. That's still his responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And failing the initial breath alcohol test, surely that means that you fail a breath alcohol test.
Yeah. But no, but they're saying that the fumes? Are
the fumes
saying
of the glue caused the accident, not the couple of beers.
Right. But he's still... But hang on. Was he over the limit?
He was... Well, he was... his driving came back... His breath alcohol level was 883 micrograms a litre. That's twice the legal limit.
Should be done for drink driving then.
So, but apparently it was the bloods didn't come back because you know how the breath is the initial and then they do the, they try to do the immediate blood.
Right, okay.
So they didn't have the bloods to back it up. Do you reckon it just got so confusing in the courtroom and everyone was talking just like this? The judge is just like, you know, you're going to do this again? And he's like, no. And they're like, okay, just leave. Get out and go home, please.
Leave the country. Home.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I don't know. Really weird, eh?
I wouldn't have
thought, regardless of what else you'd been doing, if you failed that initial breath, that would have been it. Mm. You'd be out.
I always wonder how painters deal with it because they're in rooms all day. And you walked into a room when it's been painted.
Awful.
Like they must go home a little bit.
Oh, no, they go home a little bit.
Sorry, what was that?
Have you met a lot of painters?
Not really, no.
They'd probably be up.
Oh, yeah, they'd be listening.
They're hardworking.
They're hard work, but they're sniffing paint all day.
Yeah, I know.
So you wonder if...
When our house was getting renovated, they put up these things all over the windows.
Yeah.
So they could just, like, go around with a spray gun and just get it done quick.
Mm-hmm.
But that also blocked them in and effectively turned the house into a... You know,
fumigation.
Fumigation thing, and they were fumigating themselves. I just walked in to have a look at something, and I had an immediate headache, so I don't know how they do it. But that glue,
right?
No good.
All right.
Don't drink and sniff.
Don't work with glue without a good draft.
Yeah.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
There is a new service. It's called Swipe Buster. Swipebuster.com is the website, and for just a fee of $4.99, that's US dollars.
Okay.
So I'm guessing about $7 or $8 New Zealand dollars.
Okay.
They will find out if somebody you know, or maybe you go out with, or I'm guessing even an ex, is on Tinder.
Is it like running a number plate with the New Zealand Transport Authority?
I'm guessing they just have a few students or something sitting in an office that get on Tinder.
But have they cracked Tinder? They can search by name.
I think all they're doing, because what you do, you sign up and you say who you want to bust on Tinder, and then you tell them where they last used Tinder. And I'm thinking all they're doing is just going in, searching by age and location.
That's unreliable. I'm not paying $7 for something that's not scientifically proven.
Maybe you only pay if they find them.
Well, that would be a better service.
Because you could do that, couldn't you?
Can you search on Tinder, though? Or do they have to be in your radius?
You make a fake profile.
You make a fake profile, but then they may have made a fake profile.
Because if you give them the name, but then your partner is still on Tinder but using a fake name, they're not going to be able to find them any better than you could.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the service has been talked about in quite a few publications and on TV. So, yeah, $4.99, swipebuster.com. I haven't used it, so I don't know if it does actually work. But
no one asked you if you had. That was quite defensive there. You kind of came to point by yourself.
I'm talking about it. It'd be good to kind of back it up and say, yeah, it works.
Right.
But I don't know if it does. Haven't tried it.
Because wasn't there other Tinder news that you could team up with people with the same STD as you?
No, it was in Australia. They've done
a herpes version.
A public health... No, it's like a public health program, like an ad. They're just basically ads. They set up all these Tinder profiles as if they were STIs.
Oh.
So they use pictures of hot people, but their names were like gonorrhea or herpes.
Oh,
and then
right.
it would explain herpes.
Yeah.
And then you could swipe them.
Oh, no one's swiping herpes.
On Tinder, do you have to disclose if you have any of those sorts of things?
No, of course, no, you don't.
No, okay, that's conversation over a drink.
This was just like a little novel kind of way of saying, hey, if you're going to be hooking up on Tinder, just be safe.
I've been out of the game so long, it would be one of my opening questions on a date.
What's that?
Have you got gonorrhea?
So what's your, have you seen any good movies lately? Oh, I really like Deadpool. Oh my God, me too. Do you have herpes?
Great way to launch into
it. How do you ask?
Because it's like undercover cops. They've got to tell you if they do, eh?
Yeah, otherwise it's entrapment.
Yeah.
For life.
For life.
For life.
Yeah.
But no, there should be a thing specifically for people.
I'm not saying,
some people have it due to being lied to.
Well, yeah.
And then they would be trying to live the honest life about it and say, look, I was lied to, so I'm not going to do the same to other people. So there would be, right? There'd be dating sites of people.
You could just give her a wee form to fill out.
Dating sites.
Please fill out this form as honestly as I can. Get them to sign a legally binding contract.
Now IT have seen that I've searched dating sites for herpes.
Right.
That's not honest.
You didn't put for herpes in the Google search, did you?
I did, yeah. I did.
Is there one?
Yeah, there's heaps. Top 10 herpes dating sites in 2016.
I'm glad.
Yeah, good.
In all honesty, that's a good thing.
How do I get that out of my internet history?
You can't. It's with you forever.
I think it's done now.
It's with you forever now.
So I think you've got...
Do the Panama Papers of your life. I doubt that's going to be the worst thing you've ever looked at on the internet. I looked up herpes dating. Yeah, that's nothing compared to what he looks through on your average weekday night between 7 and 9 p.m.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
I found this really inspiring story that this woman was forced to take action because she was tired of feeling a certain way. So she's 24 years old. Her name's Amber Rose, not the Amber Rose we're all thinking of with the mob emojis
a
different Amber Rose.
Okay.
She lost 83 kilograms after.
Jeez, that's nearly a whole me.
That is me and some.
You and some.
After she had a bit of an embarrassing encounter. Well, she found it embarrassing. She talked about how she used to have to buy two planes. So she did weigh, sorry, I should say, she did weigh 159 kilos.
Wow, okay.
So at 24, that's a lot. That's a lot for a young lady. She used to have to buy two plane seats every time she went on holiday. It was costing her a fortune. She also had to get a seatbelt extended to fit over her stomach. And she was uncomfortable and
So it wasn't either
mortifying and humiliating the poor.
So what was it that made her lose all this weight?
No, it was someone asking if she was pregnant.
That was the one moment
she was like, right, that's it. And from that moment on,
it was the first time that you were told you had to buy two seats got to me.
They always say that, that person should buy two seats, but I've never seen anyone actually do that, or I've never heard of or known of anyone actually do, because can the airlines make you do that?
I don't know. I don't know in New Zealand.
If it's overseas, yeah.
I think overseas.
So like America, they do. Like if you go over past a certain point, they make you buy.
But how do they do it the first time? And then do your name get added to some database? And if you're online booking, they say, are you, from our records, have to buy two seats?
Maybe. Ouch. Yeah, I know.
And then un-ouch the day you get to go in and be like, well, actually, I only need one seat now.
Yeah, I weigh less than my suitcase.
Look at my.
Then she talks about how she's shown people don't believe what she looks like now. She looks absolutely fantastic.
Wow, she is literally half her weight.
She is. She was a size 18. Now she's a size 10. She weighs 76 kilos. Girl. Fantastic.
That is insane. Would she have had to have some surgery too?
Yeah.
Because you'd have all the excess skin, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
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 She had to have
good on her. That is amazing.
What, but not a life-changing event, but what about, what just, have you ever had it just where you thought, I better go to the gym today?
Like what, one thing?
Or someone... I better do some exercise because at the weekend we got two pizzas.
Yep.
That's just for two adults.
Yep.
You know where you're like, well, we'll just eat some now and we'll save some for lunch next day.
That's initially, cold pizza immediately
rules.
What I thought is put some in the fridge. Yeah, cold pizza's awesome.
I would have loved to have.
Okay. Right.
But
okay.
There was none left.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened. I think it was evaporation. Like
right.
It was quite a hot day and they evaporated.
Right. Is this why you went for a run at the weekend? So what was the one thing? Was it that you got two pizzas?
It was that at the end of it, there was no pizza to put in the fridge to save for the lunch tomorrow. That made me think, when the sun comes up,
yeah,
I better do something.
Right.
So that was my one,
one moment. But
my one moment.
Nobody said anything to you, though.
My wife said, I certainly didn't eat one whole pizza. And I said, well, mathematically, I think on average, you must have.
Right.
The law of averages said that if there was two pizzas and two people and both pizzas are gone, that's one each. She's like, no, that's not how life works. I said, well, I'm not hearing it any other way.
Right.
But yeah, so I might have eaten more than one, but so I was very peckish.
It was her saying, I definitely didn't eat more than one pizza that made you go for a run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there was no leftovers to put in the fridge. But that's not a life changer. That's just a better do something tomorrow situation.
Well, I think I had a life changer yesterday. Like one of my biggest issues with my exercising has always been I'm either everything, every day, for an hour and a half, or I'm nothing. I can't do a little bit here and a little bit there. I've never been particularly good at that. But yesterday, I went for a run, and Guppy came with me, and it was awful. But after it, I felt so damn good. I was like, I could do this every night, like more than...
I never feel good after a run.
No,
I feel
don't
good
you?
After a swim. But after a run, my body's like, I hate you so much.
Right. Well,
could
we take some calls now? 0800-DIALS-ZM 9696. What was the one thing that someone said that made you go to the gym that day? I'm loving the stories we're getting of just you'll go to the gym just for a day.
Your moment.
Just your moment.
Your moment. Yeah. Some text messages in. The first time I saw my girlfriend completely naked, it made me realize how much out of my league I was batting. So I thought, I've got to sort this out before she cottons on.
Wow.
So he knew his time was limited, so he got into it. And that was his moment.
How's that going? Well,
he didn't say ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
And,
that's good.
You know,
right.
This is very reflective. I'm judging by the mood that there's been some good.
Well, that's good.
That's fantastic.
I'd love a follow-up on that.
My four-year-old daughter walked in with my wife's bra and said, Mummy has this for her boobies, Daddy. These are for your boobies too. And passed me a bra.
Yeah, that would make me go to the gym too.
Yeah, I
think
so.
Yeah. Somebody else said, the day that my wife poked my man boobs and jokingly said, oh, they're getting bigger than mine. And then when she left, I tried on her bra and I actually filled it out. I thought... It's time to...
Wowza.
I mean, that's a good way of testing if they are, though.
So you just
how you fill out the cup.
Go and try on your wife's bra.
Yeah, and if you're filling it out,
then
maybe
yeah.
take
ask
a
her.
Look at these things.
Yeah. Some other text messages. Somebody said, a family member walked up to me at Christmas and rubbed my belly and said, when are you due? That would have been bad enough if I was a female, but I'm a male. So it was a real sort of like, subtle.
It's real passag. Who does that to someone?
Yeah. I got breathless getting up off the sofa. It was November 11th, 2015. Remember it well. I stood up. I was like, oh, God.
Okay.
I've been exercising three times a week since then and feeling and looking much better.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
I love these little inspirational stories. Amy, what was the one thing that made you get up and go to the gym?
Well, I had a huge binge one day. I ate a pizza, three large fries, two chocolate mousses,
I love
some chocolate.
Yeah.
And I just came home and I was like, this is just not all good. And I just realized I had an epiphany and I realized I have to stop this.
So I decided, where were you when you ate all that stuff?
I went to Pizza Hut and I went to BK. I went to BK first to get my large fries and one of the chocolate mousses.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I was like, you know what, I'm just not fulfilled. So I went to Pizza Hut
yeah.
and I got a pizza and another mousse and a Pepsi. And then, like,
oh, babes.
My friend was sitting there thinking, how did you do that? And I was like, I don't know. I was full when I ate the pizza.
Right. How long did
I know
you...
You're like, I'm not fulfilled. I tell you what, I'll fill this little yeah, gap, but I've got left void. A whole pizza.
So how have you been going it's since then? Or have
well,
you had...
I got a membership at Les Mills.
Yep. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And, so, yeah, I've been doing that, but...
Wait a minute, you've got
been doing that, but it's not as specific.
But it doesn't matter because you've got the key tag on your key ring.
And so the sticker on your car.
Yeah. You look Fitspo.
And you've got a little warrant of fitness on the back of your car.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Do you wear your gym gear a lot in the day?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
So people will never know. I'll get my gym gear.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing all good. You're doing good.
People will never know if it's been...
Dave, what was the one thing that made you go to the gym?
It was a few years ago now, but I was out drinking with friends and one of them walked past and put a beer on my belly and said, that's a good table, I should give me one of those.
Oh. Wow, and so that spurred you into action.
Yeah, well, I think when that happened, I was about 170 kilos, so I've shed about 40 since then.
Oh my God, well
wow,
done you!
Applause, that's some real, that's like the story, isn't it? That's crazy.
Yeah, I was pleased to get rid of it.
Well done. Oh, good on you, mate.
Well
good
done,
on
Dave.
Adrian, what was the one thing someone said to you?
The two girls would be at the gym.
Right. And were they?
Right.
Were they at the gym?
No, they weren't.
No.
But it got you there.
Well, you went once, and you
got you
that's
there.
Enough.
And they're relentless with trying to get you signed up. Some text messages to finish up. We were doing, part of the show sponsored by Tui, but they're going to get another mention.
Okay.
We were doing reading those Tui beer caps with questions and answers, the trivia ones.
Yeah.
One of the questions is, what do all lotto winners have in common? And the answer is, they all gain weight when surveyed after they win lotto.
Of course they do, because they can afford food.
And then in front of everybody, someone said, how much did you win? And everyone laughed. And I was like, ha ha ha. Still haven't won lotto, but went from 114 kgs to 89.
Wow.
So that's it.
Good job.
So I love that that's how people are being spurred into action, basically being teased by their friends.
Exactly. Or family. Like this one, I came home from my first year at uni. The first thing Dad said to me when I got off the plane was, and I was worried you hadn't been eating.
So, oh my God.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
I'm all about being beautiful and not aging, right? At 27, these are things that I have to start to think about. And there's been a lot of things.
That says more about society than it says about you, Laura.
Possibly.
Just a society. Possibly.
Yeah. And if you watch enough of the E! Channel, it'll give you advice on what you should be using. Like, I think there was last week, there was a thing about bird poo. There's some really good anti-aging things in the poop.
In bird poo.
In the poop. Yeah, all sorts of things. Foreskins was another one.
What?
Yep. No, seriously, there's plenty of stuff going around. But I'm glad I'm not the only one who reads.
Wait a minute.
Don't ask me. Do not ask me why.
You make your own foreskin paste and Nutribullet.
People are actually doing it.
My eyes are watering at the very thought.
People are actually doing it overseas.
To be honest, there is no softer skin than the scrotum.
Does anyone have some spare 40? I'm feeling 80.
Well, husbands don't.
You only get one shot at it. You only get one shot.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, there's some really weird stuff going around.
I don't feel you've explained how they're using the fouries to make you younger.
I'm not going into that detail. That is not what I actually wanted to talk to you about.
What do I want? Anti-aging foreskins.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I had no idea this
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. It's actually a thing. Okay. But Gwyneth Paltrow, who's a bit loopy. Bit loop-de-loo. She likes those sorts of things. Don't know if she's tried the foreskin method. What she has tried, she is cray. She lets bees sting her.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Ugh.
To help with the...
Is it straight from the bee or is a bee like held in some sort of tweezers and frozen and then just like stung
specifically? Well, I wondered if she popped her head in a box.
And just, so it's on her face. It's on her face. She lets...
And her body because... And I'll read you what she said. Because it's called bee therapy.
Yeah, a lot of bee products are amazing for you, aren't
very
they?
Very good.
And for your skin,
She says she's open to anything. She's been stung by bees. It's a thousands of years old treatment called apitherapy. People use it to get rid of inflammation and scarring. She told an ironically named reporter called B Shapiro. His name was B. Shapiro. She said it's actually pretty incredible if you research it, but man alive, it's painful.
Caitlin, producer Caitlin, your dad is an, what do you call
an
him?
Aporist. Yes.
A bee man.
He's serene without the mountains, isn't he, Doug?
Yeah. And a lot more bees.
Have you ever heard of this?
What, is that a competition who had more bees out of your old man and
Sered? It was just a hobby. His is a profession.
Oh, wait, you can tell this is a thing with aporists. So they're like, like Sered. Well, he was a hobby aporist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people only have one or two hives, but Dad's got hundreds.
But way to bring down like one of New Zealand's greatest heroes.
No, like I mean,
your dad's
amazing.
Not getting on the $5 note for having more bees. Yeah.
Now, what is the deal with have you heard of this kind of treatment before? Because maybe your dad could be getting some money out of stupid Hollywood celebrities.
I don't know if you've ever had a bee sting, but they really hurt. So
I had one fly in my helmet, got stuck, and stung me on the head.
Oh
my bald head.
My dad is now like immune to them, so he gets a bee sting and doesn't feel it. So you probably, like, it wouldn't work forever. Like, Gwyneth can't do it forever because then maybe it's not working. I don't know.
But maybe she'd still be getting the benefit for her skin, even if she doesn't feel the stinger.
Right.
Your dad, in your Snapchats recently, when you and your dad were singing Gal Pal songs on your road trip
to
Fairly.
It's Raining Men, yes.
It's Raining Men, which is wonderful to see her face. He's very useful looking.
Okay.
So maybe there is something in
that. Maybe there is.
Right. Did we get any more info on the fory?
So apparently Oprah Winfrey endorsed a face cream derived from human foreskin. She pulled her endorsement.
She pulled the fory.
After it. So researchers have found it promotes skin cell regeneration when applied topically. Growth factors obtained from the foreskin for a hydrofacial is at a microscopic level. So no huge chunks. That's what it says in the story, which is good.
But is it blended?
Like I assumed.
Like you chop up onions because you can get plenty more.
Oh, yeah. Around. Jeez.
You're just crossing your legs, are you?
Yikes.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Cat news, cat news. Everybody cares about that news.
Yeah, we do.
Look at Vaughn's face. He hates this.
What is that upside down smile?
Turn that upside down frown around or something.
Turn that frown upside down.
Turn that upside down frown around.
That would
be turning a smile into a frown. Because it's an upside down frown. Okay. Turning it upside down, a double negative.
Just smile. Because
I got what you were meaning. Though,
I've got a cute little story today about a cat. Actually, a cat that doesn't exist.
In Utah,
this happened on the 1st of April and has now gone viral because it was an April Fool's Day prank.
Go on then.
I actually can't believe that a policeman would get away with this. It doesn't seem to me that he knows the people that he's pulled over. But the video starts, and I'll put this whole video at zmonline.com. But the video starts with him pulling over a couple of men in a car.
Okay. Do you have any controlled substances in the vehicle?
No.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with the feline unit, with the police department's feline unit, and I do have my feline partner with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to deploy my cat around the outside of your vehicle. And if the cat indicates the odor of a controlled substance, we're going to go from there, okay?
Okay.
So this is Officer Fru Fru. She's been with the department for 8 years. So, yeah, she's been certified for 60 of those years, first year of her training. Well, you know, by law, we can only do an exterior sniff. So she's trained in Dutch, so we're gonna use Gieft. You guys, I can't keep playing with you. This is April Fool's joke. I'm sorry. I've been wanting to do this for a while to somebody on April Fool's. I had to try it. Do you guys forgive me?
Yeah.
They could have shot you.
Do you guys forgive me? You
won't
sue me?
What if they had a trunk full of heroin? They would have gunned them down and made a run for the hills.
They didn't look like your type of your typical heroin dealers or meth makers. Just look like a couple of old mates just going along for a drive. So he actually got his cat, Officer Fru Fru, out of the car. It goes on for like 5 minutes. And you can see the full video, zmonline.com. I just had to share that April Fool's prank.
Good.
It was brilliant.
During that, I was just wondering, because you always hear about a dog's sense of smell.
Yep.
But you don't know about a cat's sense of smell?
Yeah, I don't know cats. Wasn't there a cat at some kind of rest home or
that could sense cancer?
Yeah. Wasn't that a story
when they were
once?
Pass.
Oh, God.
So a dog's nose is 1,000 to 10 million times as sensitive as a human's, depending on the breed. So you're okay. Like, your beagles are right up there. A cat's is 14 times as strong as humans.
So we're not going to see cats at airport border security.
Not as much as a dog.
Because I'm not a dog person, but even some of those dogs at the airport are pretty cute. I want to pat them, but you're not allowed to.
They get a bit funny if you go to, and they make you stand still while they sniff.
Where did somebody, it wasn't at an airport, but someone gave a dog a sandwich and it took them off duty for the day. It wasn't at the airport because you can't bring food through. But it was somewhere where there were sniffer dogs and someone was eating a sandwich and they tore half the sandwich off and gave it to the dog and the dog was like off duty for the day.
Well, it's probably punished. It's in the dog box, literally.
It's not the dog's fault. The guy was like sniffing around and he was like looking for the next person to sniff and someone's like, here you go. And the dog was like, and the handler was probably like, what did you do? I fed him a sandwich. And that was it. He was off duty for the day.
And then he didn't sniff his 10 kgs of cocaine that was in his suitcase.
Yeah.
Missed that one.
Well, that's the trick to a good coke binge. You can't eat half a sandwich. And that's what they're after, aren't they, drug dogs? They're addicted.
Well, anyway, it seems Vaughan's really got into this story today. Another edition of...
No, I wasn't.
Cat news.
No.
Cat loved news. It.
Everybody
really
cares about
you
that.
You talked more than us both put together at the end there. You were so involved.
Vaughan and seat warmer, Laura.
I just ran to the toilet. And some crazy woman in the toilet before me has hung the toilet paper the wrong way. The wrong way around.
Well, there is no wrong way to hang a toilet paper.
Oh, not this debate again.
This annoys me because you just came back in and said it and James and Caitlin just stomped right in, boots and all. Everybody, it annoys me that everybody has such a strong opinion on this.
Well, it's important because it says some stuff about you.
I saw a story, on stuff at all about your personality. What if you don't care? What does that say about you?
That you've got way better things to worry about?
You should care.
I think if I had to choose, I'd go toilet paper over every time.
Is this this way or you pull it this way?
Yeah, so you're pulling it down.
So thank you. That is how the toilet paper should go.
But the other way...
It's touching the wall both ways.
It doesn't look right the other way around.
Oh, are you one of those people that folds a triangle? Like it, you know, when you go to a hotel.
Look, it depends who's coming over. If the Queen's coming over for tea, I'm folding the toilet paper. No, I don't fold.
I don't like that they've folded a triangle because it means they've touched the paper.
Well, don't use that. But I use so much toilet paper.
You just get rid of it. Okay,
A lot of toilet paper.
And any toilet paper that's touched the ground, do you use that? When you've come into the toilet and someone's just pulled it and yanked it, and the toilet paper's on the ground, you just
no.
Rip that off.
I wouldn't. I'd rip it off. I wouldn't
go too much into using that. It annoys me that I'm even involved in this now because it's one of those things that when someone brings it up, I always try to not involve myself in the conversation because it annoys me that people care so much about it. Get a toilet roll that's just a pole stuck in the wall so that there is no over or under. Do you know what I mean?
Because
the problem is that they sit against the wall, so you've either got it going against the wall or over the front. Stick a pole straight into the wall, and then it just hangs off the wall.
What about?
And then there's no back or forth or over or under.
What about, you know how if you've got women get their period and they've got their... Sorry. Sorry, boys.
No, you're okay.
Look on Vaughan's face.
To be honest, Bleach, it was your face. Women have got pads. Young ladies have got this pads, right? And they're wrapped in that little stuff. What about if you had your little toilet paper in a little wrapper like that so it was all folded up ready for you to go?
Toilet paper
for a wipe.
You've brought up, that's a very interesting point. I'd need like 8 pre-packaged show. I use a lot of toilet paper.
Here's what New Zealanders have said. They roll it over the top, 81%. Under rollers, 10%. It varies every time I pop on a new one, 7%. And someone just has it sitting on the shelf, the floor, or the cistern, 2% of people.
The thing about sitting it on the cistern is that it doesn't take much to knock it off and then you've got a whole bog roll in the toilet and then it super absorbs the water and then you can't flush it because you're blocked, but you can't pick it out and take it somewhere because it's really wet.
And then you've got your hand in the toilet.
I just flush it over the period of about 4 weeks it normally goes away. Just keep ramming it down.
Just pop back every 5 minutes and hit another flush. Flush cycle. What about in Southeast Asia when they don't have toilet paper? Have you travelled much?
That's when you need your handy dandy
prepackaged
toilet paper.
And then old the actress was a little while peddling those wet wipes for your bum.
Oh,
But apparently those are bad. They clog the toilets.
Yeah, I know. Those aren't great, apparently, for plumbing systems.
Some people swear by those.
Madeline Sami, yes. She's one of her funny voices. Now? Wiped her bum.
Are they banned now?
No, they're not banned, but plumbers are saying not all houses plumbing set up for them.
Oh, they just
the thin pipes can really cause quite a clog.
Well, who knew toilet paper could take up an entire voice break?
Sam, you worked at a hotel. Why do they made you put it over the toilet paper?
Yeah, during the dark years, I worked at a hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole reason behind it is so it rolls away from the wall towards the toilet. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you grab it, you don't rub your grubby hands, dirty hands against the wall. So that whenever the toilet paper comes off the roll, it's clean.
And then you're not having
so
to clean the wall all the time.
Touching the wall more than the toilet paper touching the wall.
Because, like, not everybody washes their hands.
You're right.
You cook some chicken and have raw chicken on your hand, and then you have to touch the wall to grab the toilet paper, and kids especially. And so the whole reason.
Okay, that's
an interesting
reason.
That makes
complete sense. I like
science. Finally, a bit of science behind
it. Yeah, a bit of science. All right, thanks, Sam.
That's good. All right.
And we're up to date with toilet paper.
Still, if
this morning,
you want, as long as you're wiping your bum and washing your hands, I don't care.
Pretty much.
Born in substitute, Laura.
I would like to know, and please call us on 0800 ZM or text 9696. When you just nailed being a grown up.
Right, okay.
Grown up?
Sure.
Grown up.
I mean, you know, we're all grown ups.
When you did great grown up stuff. When you stopped and you thought, man, I'm a grown up.
Right.
Good on. I was doing my taxes last night. Grown up, right? Like, I had a calculator, okay. I had stuff. I made my wife say, look at you. I said to her, can you just give it a few minutes? But at some stage, walk back past them, but look at you being all grown up.
Okay, right.
You know, like, I'd forgotten I told her, and she walked past and she's like, look at you being a grown up. I was like, thank you. And then I was like, oh, that's right. I told you to say that. But still, that was good. That was exactly the right amount of time she left it.
Yeah.
And then I said, you're putting the jug on? Because that's what grown-ups say. That's what my mum and dad are always saying to each other. You're putting the jug on. And then I was like, Mac, it's a cuppa, love. And she made me a cuppa and bought me a boring biscuit, which is very grown-up.
Yeah.
Is it like a wine biscuit? Like super wine?
Like a super, like an arrowroot.
Oh, arrowroot. Don't mind the arrowroot.
And I dunked the arrowroot in the tea and I was like, here's tax. And I ate the biscuit and I was like, I've totally now been a grown-up.
A total rager at your house last night.
It was a wild rager. It was tax night. I don't know how grown up I was to leave it till like the last minute.
Right, just like homework.
Yeah.
Because is the tax due?
I don't know.
31st of March, I think you'll find it was.
No, you can't be.
Good one, Vaughn.
Because I emailed my accountant and she was like, look at you go. That's
right.
But
okay.
Maybe because last year I was real late. I got a letter from the OOD saying, hey, mate, you got to pay your taxes.
Didn't do so good with the grown-up stuff last year.
No, this is why I'm fine. I'm nailing it. There's like two nights of the year I have to be a grown-up and both are tax things.
Iggy Azalea needs to come to you for some tax lessons.
Oh, we could put the jug on for Iggy and I'd be like, love, get me and Iggy a couple of biscuits. We've got to fill out these boring-ass tax forms.
So why? Okay, so that just made you feel like you really had an adult moment.
I try to do as much when I get into the mood for grown-up stuff, which isn't often.
Yep.
I've really got to do it all at once. Like yesterday, I sorted out insurance stuff.
Yep.
And it was just like so boring. And then I did my tax, but now I'm free to be a kid again. So,
right. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm
watching The Lion Guard. I've been mice guying their new Lion Guard show. Oh, I'm watching all the Lion Guards. It's Simba's kids. It's the next generation.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You totally get it. So I'd like to know if you've had when you totally nailed being a grown-up. Like, you were like,
Is it bad that I don't have one of those moments?
No. It's great.
It's great.
You should live like that as long as you can, Peter Pan.
Because I'm immature.
Yeah. Don't get too tied up.
What about you, Laura?
I am so ungrown-up that even when Guppy's on the other side of the world, he has to pay all the bills because I can't deal with it. Like, I just can't.
He's in Mumbai.
And he's playing the power bill because I cannot.
Getting text messages from your bank. Someone's logged onto your banking in Mumbai. Someone's logged onto your bank. You're just like, calm down, bank.
It's Guppy. It's Guppy.
He's doing the bills because cannot be bothered.
I am irresponsible. So irresponsible when it comes. Right. I'm very good at picking up the dry cleaning though. But after we get the text that says, hey, your dry cleaning's been here for 4 weeks.
We're about to give these clothes to the Salvation Army. Come and get your damn shirts.
Yeah.
You know, I think when I get my cat in a few weeks, that's going to be my, because I'm going to have to be so responsible.
I'm so excited for the party.
So I can't
party.
Just go, what about going away for the weekends now? I can't just do that. I've got to find someone to feed.
You've got to get a regular cat sitter or like a house sitter. Karen.
Don't, well, just your mate, Karen. It's a working title.
Working
Karen.
Gotcha.
It's a boy Karen. Cat. Yeah.
It's going to be called Karen.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's a boy cat because I bought you a present.
You've got to spell it a little bit out there, though, if you're going to call your cat.
We'll deal with that later. I haven't yet had a grown-up moment.
When did you have your big grown-up moment is what we want to know, when you thought, I think I'm a grown-up now. Some text messages in. When I got sick for the first time after moving out of home, I had to look after myself. Oh. When I recovered, I thought, I'm a grown-up now. I didn't have my mum come around. I'm a grown-up. The other day, I purchased my first entire set of matching cutlery. I guess you could say, I'm a grown-up now.
I've done that too, and it felt real good.
I know, because you're flatting and everything's just a mishmash of whatever people can scrounge to bring to
a
flat.
And they've left over at your house.
Yeah. Like, it still doesn't bother me having an odd plate. But my wife,
No.
I'll bring a plate home from somewhere. I don't know where, but you know, occasionally you'll find like a ceramic plate with flowers on it, and you just put it in the drawer, and you just hear, "Where did this plate come from? get it out of here! Just put it somewhere where I can't see it." So yeah, they said a matching cutlery set really made them feel like getting a grown up.
Right.
Somebody else said I went to the doctor's alone for the first time, and I had to say out loud what was wrong with me. And the doctor must have known.
Yeah,
your mum's like, he's been feeling a little bit sick in his tummy and he's got a sore bit. And you're like, thanks, mum. Carry me to the car. Mum's like, you're 24, Vaughn, walk to the car. Please carry me, mum. So they felt like a super grown-up. The doctor must have known because he said, is everything all right? And I said to him, I think I just became a grown-up. Someone said, I rung to get house and contents insurance for my first house. Buying the house was like nothing. But then when I rang and did the insurance, at the end of it, she's like, is there anything else you can help me with? I said, no. You've helped me become a grown-up. Everybody growing in their own
That's
special
amazing.
Way.
That's amazing. Melissa, where did you have that I've become a grown-up moment?
When I got my Warana Fitness, like 4 days before it was due.
Wow. And so before...
I've not hit that level of grown-up yet.
Mum still has to text and remind me.
It's always a nice little warning infringement from a parking warden that reminds me it's time to get you on a fitness.
But 4 days before, that's really well done.
You'd probably get one of those letters that your registration's due and do it online, would you? Mel?
Yeah?
Would you do your rego online as soon as you got the warning letter too, I suppose?
I did drive around with my rego out for like 5 hours.
Okay, so not quite a grown-up. Small steps. Alan, where did you have that grown-up moment?
Well, okay, it's only not a few years ago when you'd be at a party and, you know, you're all teenagers and get noise control come over and you think, oh, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd say... A few weeks ago, I realised I was an adult when I was the one calling the noise control.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the fence.
You're that guy.
Literally.
Alan.
That is such a moment.
Did you call noise control? Like, there's a noise, here's the address, and there's you hung up. You're like, put on the jug, love. I'm going to have a cup of tea while I wait for noise control.
No, the teenagers came to the end of the driveway and they start being real noisy and being the vandals. And I was like, oh, God, I've been there, but now it's time to call the cops. And I looked at my partner and I was like, geez, we're getting old.
Put on the jug, love. Bring us a couple of arrow roots.
Wow, that's a real grown-up moment for you, Alan. Hey, thanks for your call, mate.
How sweet is.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Fact of the day. He sung the fact of the day tune while he finished off the Facebook post and he published it because he can do things.
Because he's a man and he can multitask.
He's a grown up.
Multitasking. Today's fact of the day. This is how I stumbled across it. Backstory. Western Springs in Auckland is this lovely little spot. To be totally honest, too many geese.
Oh, yeah, like by the lake.
Too many geese. Mm. I think it would be a lovely spot. Get rid of all the birds.
Mm.
And because the springs there are still really clean. There used to be Auckland Central's main drinking supply, the Western Springs.
Oh, really? Because it's got eels in it. It's yuck.
Pre-ducks.
Okay. Be drinking that now.
It was as nice a water as, have you seen the blue springs that the down by the place with the corrugated iron stuff? Patararu.
No, I have not.
Past T-Rail, Patararu. Right. It's where they get like all the bottled water springs from.
Okay.
Lots of people have been swimming in it this summer. It was a big place to visit the summer just gone. The Western Springs water was as nice as that.
Okay.
But now it's all duck shit and bird crumbs is basically what it
and
is.
Eels.
I was looking for historic photos of Western Springs because I wanted to see what it looked like before everything was there. before the racetrack.
You're so weird.
Before the zoo, before Motet.
Where did you get to that point?
Well, I was looking through photos and I saw this photo. I was like, "That, what is that?" And it was a hippopotamus in Western Springs.
Okay.
And I was like, let's find out some more.
But
so today,
what made you Google Western Springs in the first place?
I wanted to see what it looked like before it was overrun with goose. Gus.
Yes. What made you want to know that? Had you just visited?
Yeah, we went at the weekend.
Oh, okay, so that's why.
Yeah.
Because I was just
imagining. We just thought out of nowhere.
You
just
on the couch, you just like, oh, I wonder what Western Springs
is. I was just doing my weekly hate on geese, and I thought, where do they always go that I could look up photos of? No, we'd just been.
Okay.
And there was geese. Too many geese.
Yeah,
very
okay.
aggressive, the goose.
They are an aggressive.
And swans.
Oh, I don't like the swans.
Oh, yeah, no.
They were bullied as little babies, and so they grew up. They were slightly prettier than the ugly duckling they once were, but now they've got an attitude problem. So I saw this picture, and it was a hippopotamus.
Yeah.
I can tell you, in 1977, there was a flood, and it was so bad, a hippopotamus floated out of its enclosure at Auckland Zoo and ended up in Western Springs.
Oh, my God.
Did they not have very high fences
they
back in the day?
They can't have.
Or they just had rubbish fences.
Or just terrible drainage.
Yeah.
And so some leaves got in the grate of the hippopotamus thing and it just started filling up. And then it flooded and the thing got washed over the fence.
And I mean, they're not the lightest things, are they? Must have been a lot of water.
You know,
and yesterday when I was discussing with Caitlin this, she said that would have been pretty cute. But I don't think Caitlin knew that hippopotamuses kill more people in Africa than any other animal.
Oh, yeah, they're very aggressive,
really territorial. They can open their jaw to be like 4 foot. So if you were like a kid, you could stand straight up in a hippopotamus's mouth just before it totally
crushed you.
Yes. Well, that's the danger.
Yeah.
Children will be tossing beach balls and stuff into their mouth and then it would just straight up kill them.
When is the last time someone escaped from the otter escaped from Auckland?
Jin.
Was the otter on the island, wasn't he?
Didn't he get to Rangitoto?
He got to Rangitoto, yeah, lovely.
It's a wonderful effort for an otter.
And then did he recently just pass away, I think, R.I.P.
Jin. A hippopotamus recently passed away. It'd be interesting enough if that was the same hippopotamus.
That was the floater.
Plibiplotamus, yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if it was the fence.
I love a good zoo break. It's been a while.
I do. Yep. I love a cute zoo break. Not a dangerous zoo break. Like Sumatran tigers, stay where you are. Lions, you don't do anything whenever I've been to the zoo. So don't tell me you've got an escape planned. Unless they're planning the ultimate
Although
escape.
One less Western Springs neighbour that's moaning about the noise wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Are you saying they escape and eat the
just the moany ones?
Yeah. And it might bring property prices down a little bit too.
It should be nice, yeah.
I mean, escaped animals are up there with a P-Lab in the garage next door to bring down
right
property prices.
Brilliant.
And a noisy Saturday night because you moved next to a speedway and now you're complaining about it?
Yeah.
Take a look at yourself. So today's fact of the day is in June 1977, during a flood, a hippopotamus floated out of its enclosure at Auckland Zoo and ended up in the duck pond at Western Springs.
Fact of the day.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
And I know there's a lot of serious issues in the world right now and bigger things to worry about, but something has caught my eye and it's bugging me.
Okay, what is that?
It's like, it's up there when I see a wonky sign.
Yeah, okay.
Or something wonky.
You've already got me on board. Permission to board the ship of outrage, sir. I don't even know where we're sailing.
I noticed this walking back from the gym last night and I tried to Snapchat it, but I couldn't. You know when you zoom in too far, there's not enough focus?
Yeah, but blurry.
On the side of the Sky Tower in Auckland, so looking at it from the TVNZ side, from our building side, going towards the city, up on, you know how they have the silver panels on the Sky Tower? So you go
where the concrete stops and the silver panels start.
And there is
well up the Sky Tower.
There is right down the bottom a giant R in a circle.
A registered trademark, or something's registered. It's an R in a circle.
Now it is driving me crazy because A, what does it mean? B, why is it there? Like, was there a sign that they put up? Because I remember when they had the America's Cup, they put a big. Sometimes they put advertising on it, don't they? Very rarely though.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen anything written up there.
Why is it there?
Maybe,
take it
but
down.
What if the R's the first part of a new sign?
No, because it's in a... I was thinking, does it mean it's the right side of the Sky Tower? And is there an L on the other side? Like, I was standing there at the traffic lights looking at it. and I missed the traffic lights going across because I was trying to get the Snapchat, and I was just doing my head in. I need answers. Who works at Sky City? Does anyone know someone at Sky City?
The Prime Minister will know somebody.
That was a great political joke, actually. That was real good.
Yeah, he'll know what Yara is.
Seriously, though, like, it is doing my head in because now every time I walk past, I'm going to look up and see it and be like, what does that R in a circle mean?
No, I'm totally with you.
It's got to be left over from a sign. And if it is, they need to get in the little outside buckety thing, zip down and take it off.
There. How big would it be?
Well,
would it be as tall as you?
Because I'd say it would at least have to be a meter. No, it'd have to be maybe half a meter. I don't know.
Because when you see the people walking around the outside of the Sky Tower,
they look little,
and their orange jumpsuits, and they're tiny.
Oh yeah, maybe it would be a couple of foot meters? Or a foot high.
There are.
Yeah,
it'd have to be bigger.
You're seeing it from a couple of hundred meters. So I don't know, but it is doing my head in.
Oh my God,
that's why I said there's bigger problems in the world, like Syria and
all of it.
And
everything. Trump. Pollution, global warming.
This is just something that is doing my head in.
Yep. Add it to the list.
But tax it's like haven. When you see a wonky sign.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Well,
for
no,
me.
The reason you're not addressing the big issues of the world is this is an easy fix. This is something that you, as a man with a microphone in front of you, can change. Yeah.
It's not even centered in the tile either. That's the other problem.
That must really get on your nerves.
Is it going across like a crack?
No, it's to the side, I think, from memory. Because it annoyed me that it wasn't centre. It's just there.
Let me see on the text machine if anybody knows. Generally, people are pretty quick to text message this sort of thing in. If they know why there's an R in a circle on the side of the Sky Tower, nothing.
See? Now it's going to do my head in even more.
Nothing.
I wish I could help you because you seem really internally very conflicted.
I'm very upset.
Yeah, just another example of big money being able to do whatever they want in this country.
It is their building. It is their building, Vaughn. They can do what they want. It's their building.
Yeah, no, true it is.
They can put whatever they want on the side of their building.
Yeah, they can. Well, they can't put swear words.
No, well, that's true.
Well, they could.
Yeah. But they'd get in trouble.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
12 minutes away from 5.
You know me.
From 9.
From 5.
I don't know why I said 5. Home time.
Woohoo!
I think I was in a coma for the workday.
I just looked down and saw 5 on the desk here.
And you were like,
and I was like, 5.
Oh, it's 5.
Yep, that's how my brain works.
That's how I do times too, just whatever numbers I'm looking at.
Yeah, pops up, you think, all
right. Like right now it's Rebecca to Meg. Those are just two names I can see on the phone thing. Okay, so that's how I assume the time is. If you've got a moment today, there's a very interesting article. I've only just started reading it at the herald.co.nz about professionals revealing what really goes on in their jobs. And it's like different industries and their dirty little secrets. Hospitality, for example.
What was that? Because it was that TV show made out of the book Hotel Babylon. And there was the Air Babylon as well.
There's another Babylon too.
Is there?
The people that were behind that did another one as well.
Right. It was amazing to read what happens like on airlines and planes and long flights and stuff. That was pretty insane.
Probably the least surprising one that I've come across so far is the education sector. Saying that students they don't like are really badly bad-mouthed in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I just assumed that was what happened in the teacher's lounge. Yeah, this is their refuge to get away from horrible children that the rest of us can avoid.
Would they have been talking about you when you walked past the teacher's lounge? A couple
of them would have been. But the rest would have been, I don't know what you're talking about.
Teacher's lounges never looked that great.
No.
Like, ours had a pool table and a Coke machine. And I remember we had to go and carry something out of there once. It wasn't the pool table, but we had to go carry something out of there once. And I remember thinking it was far better than I thought it would ever be.
Oh, really? Okay.
All padded chairs.
Oh.
Those big wide chairs.
Okay, yep.
Big wide padded chairs. There was a coffee machine and a Coke machine. Not like a Coke fountain, but like a Coke machine. It was cheaper than what we paid for Coke. They had a subsidized Coke.
Oh, yeah,
machine,
okay.
Yeah. The pool table, in great condition, like hadn't had one of those accidental rips.
Right. Well, they must have been doing it rough at New Plymouth Boys High back in my day when I saw the teacher's staff room. Maybe they've juiced it up now and they've got some lovely couches. I don't know.
Right.
All the schools. I went to a really nice school. I was really lucky.
Did you ever see the teacher's lounge?
Yeah, it was actually quite nice.
Quite nice.
There was no Coke machine, but they had like little sandwiches that were brought out to them all the time.
What? Yeah. It was catered.
From the private school.
Ooh, the public sector certainly isn't catered.
No, wow. Certainly.
I mean, they probably had to really push to get coffee
that
wasn't
and
like
Milo.
Red Ribbon.
Oh, I don't know if they had Milo. That's a step
that's we got bit Milo way over Milo in our, the public sector. What was that room called again that you got to, your form room or your...
Common room.
Common room.
And, yeah, right. And the last year of school.
Yeah, last year of school. Oh. We had a common room for 2 years.
Spoiler alert, if you're at school, they're going to threaten to take that away from you. They can't.
They took ours off us. They took our common room off us in sixth form because we organised an after party for our ball and it was a big tisk-tisk.
At the common room?
They took, no, not at the common room, but for the an after party. No,
but there's
the
another
ball.
Thing about the after ball. They'll say don't do an after ball, but that's just their legal obligations are to say don't have an after ball.
Yeah, of course.
But they know there's going to be an after
ball. They banned us from the common room for like a month.
Really? They changed the locks.
Locked it. None of us had keys to get in there.
Meanwhile, the teachers are eating sandwiches for free.
And we're sat on the concrete.
Unbelievable.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
Moments ago, we were talking about this article at the Herald about people letting you know the secrets behind their industry, and we mentioned a book. A couple of people asked what that book was called on the text machine. That was called Hotel Babylon.
Yeah,
and then we mentioned there was one called Air Babylon, and there might be a couple of others. So there's heaps. These stories are real stories that have happened, but they say they've all happened to one person to make it like a readable
story. Yeah.
But it's all stories that have been submitted from people in the industry.
And that's what makes it so good is because they're all real.
You know what's happened.
So you're just like, whoa.
So there was Hotel Babylon and Air Babylon, also in the series Fashion Babylon, which
about
would be
the
interesting, fashion industry.
Wow, okay.
Beach Babylon, which I guess is like...
Beach resorts
or working as a lifeguard.
Apparently those
like
are real bad because, you know, all the British tourists and Europe and stuff, they're pretty scandalous.
Do you remember in Fiji when we were trying to hire that jet ski, but that guy wouldn't pay attention to us because he was sleeping with a tourist?
Yes,
do you remember that? I was getting really angry because at the start I was like, good on you to this tourist. She's sleeping with the guy that works there. But then it was like really eating into my jet ski time. So I started to get angry. And there's also Pop Babylon, stories about the pop industry behind the scenes. Wedding Babylon, Hospital Babylon, and Restaurant Babylon.
Oh, Wedding.
Wow.
Wedding Babylon would be so good.
No, that's...
There'd be some bitchiness in there.
Villas up the wazoo. Wow. Oh, man.
All right, it's time for last calls, the last part of the show, and we take your stories to win. This week, it's the new fragrance Legend Spirit from Montblanc worth $95. We're going to start with you, Meg. Meg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Meg.
Are you getting a bit of Where's Meg at the moment?
I took a photo beside that.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the competition. I just think the sign's really nice.
Neither! It's weird. It is weird, isn't it? It's like, it's Z, isn't it? And they're doing a Where's Man. She's touring around the country.
Yeah.
And if we find her, we win?
Well, I'm here, so...
What do we win? A franchise?
I don't know. I tried that at the petrol station. I wound up my window and I said, I'm here. And they did not give me anything.
I feel really bad because I saw my friend Meg, PJ's old flatmate, at Auckland City Limits. I'm like, where's Meg? I've seen the posters.
They're getting it heaps.
And she's like, I've seen it. But she actually looks like her.
Oh, does she?
A little bit. So that's amazing.
I don't think there's that many of us. There's not that many Megs around.
Like, nah. Shut up, Megan.
Shut up, Meg. That's another one. from Family Guy.
Yeah.
All right, Meg, what's your story for last calls? What happened?
Well, it segues quite nicely from your high school stories. So... This is a bit of a circa 90s tale, and I haven't told it that many times, and I'm a little bit worried somebody will realise who I am. But so went to live in Christchurch, went to a co-ed religious school.
Yeah,
probably not that many of them, and it was in the time actually before the internet, we didn't have it at school, and so we had this subject called. Computer. I don't know what that was.
It was called computers. I remember in the late 90s, it was just called computers.
And you just got to play on computers and write a Word document.
You made a rabbit out of like the letter R, you know, they'd be like space. Anyway, very exciting. So we had an intranet system within this computer room. So it was, you couldn't go on the internet, but you could like message each other. It was like retro Facebook. Okay. I was rather into creative writing, and I had a friend next to me who was had a crush on a guy that was in another computer room at the same time, and so she decided to start writing him a little bit of love messages on her intranet, and I decided to take over and make it a little bit more 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
And sent some very questionable
content.
Messages to him, from her, but they were quite, you know, dodgy.
Yeah.
And then hit the send button thinking it was going to his intranet, but in fact it actually went to the staff room, the principal, and all of the people that were in. So I'm thinking probably I was the child that they were sitting around in the staff room.
Discussing.
So it wasn't under my name, luckily. But I decided not to come to school for like 3 days because who wants to deal with that wrath?
But did you throw your friend under the bus? Like, what was the repercussions to her? She got in trouble or they said...
There was some trouble. It's Bible school, so, you know.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Bible school.
And
brilliant.
That was the beginning of the career of E.L. James.
Amazing, yeah. All right, Meg, I'll wait there. Jono, what's your story for last calls?
Hey, Don. I work in a role where I have to go visit people and make them pay money or I can take their things off them. Me and a colleague.
Okay.
You work in repo, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I work in repo. Me and a colleague went to an address. These two guys opened the door. There's a little flat out the back. And when they open the door, a whole big cloud of smoke comes out. This is about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, we know what these guys are.
You stumbled across a wake and bake there, John. I believe they call it in the industry.
A very severe wake and bake.
Yeah.
So we went and talked to the guys. We were there for both of them and said, look, you need to pay us money. We ended up seizing their cell phones.
Right.
And they were like, well, how are we going to ring people? How are we going to contact our friends? Well, look, if you take the SIM card out, we'll leave the SIM card for you.
Yeah.
And if you put it in that microwave over there, it'll work, and you'll be able to call your friends. And because they were so wasted, they fully believed it. That they could put their SIM card in the microwave and dial from the numbers on the microwave.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's a great an advert for drug use and why you shouldn't.
Yeah, an anti-ad. More than an ad.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, Johnny, wait.
Unless you were so high, it did work.
Yeah.
And then, wow. All right, we've got votes in to win the Mont Blanc. Somebody said Fletch, you're really Kiwi-izing that. It's
Mont Blanc.
Like plonk.
Blanc.
Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc. I know, it's my Kiwi.
It's your Mount Blanc.
It's my Mount Blanc Kiwi.
Lovely job.
We've got a vote for Meg, who sent some dirty messages all through the Bible school, as she put it. And two votes for Jono, who convinced people they could talk to their drug-dealing friends through the telephone line. Jono, congratulations.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.